Well, with the thoughts of spring just ahead, I have been thinking back to my days on the baseball field. And not when I played, but the day that I was there, that warm day in May, seated in a lawn chair, drinking my lemonade, and watching the T-ballers play. You talk about a barrel of laughs and great enjoyment to watch the 4 and 5 year olds run around and try to learn the game of baseball. It is a hoot. And the left fielder is chasing the butterflies. And the second baseman is sitting right on second base with his legs crossed. And the catcher is laying prone behind home plate right at the feet of the umpire. It is something else. And then it happened. My 4-year-old was playing in the dirt on the third baseline and gets dirt in his eye. And you talk about a challenge for a young parent. There's nothing any more challenging trying to run a four-year-old down, frailing the arms, they're running all over the baseball diamond and can't see. And we finally got him taken care of, got our water bottles and flushed the eyes and all of that. But you know, the thought really dawned on me. What would it be like if he was born blind? In fact, what would it be like if I was blind and couldn't see? And such is the story that is before us today in the Gospel of Luke chapter 18. Now, we're on this journey here with Jesus in this Lenten season, and we're calling it the best road trip ever. And we have this wonderful privilege of looking at all the places that Jesus went to, and we've picked out some for your reflection in your own personal walk of faith as well as with your small group. And today I want to add some further reflection to Luke 18. Not that it really needs any, but I want to give you some thoughts here today that's kind of impressed me about this text. Luke 18. And if you will, let me just share it once more with you. Because I want you to pick up the story here that's unfolding just quickly. Right before Jesus heads into town, it says Jesus took the 12 aside and said, "Look, we're going up to Jerusalem, and everything written about the human one by the prophets will be accomplished, and he will be handed over to the Gentiles, and he will be ridiculed and mistreated and spit on and torturing him. They will kill him, and on the third day he will rise again." But the 12 understood none of these words. The meaning of the message was hidden from them, and they didn't grasp what he was saying. And as Jesus came to Jericho, a certain blind man was sitting by the wayside begging. And when the man heard the crowd passing by, he asked what was happening. And they told him, "Jesus the Nazarene is passing by." And the blind man shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, show me mercy." And those leading the procession scolded him, telling him to be quiet. But he shouted even louder, "Son of David, show me mercy." And Jesus stopped and called for the man to be brought to him. And when he was present, Jesus asked, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, I want to see." And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Now, I want you to know this incredible story that's taking place here. And it really is something to behold. And first of all, I want to point out that if you like the Gospel of Luke, this is the third time, if you're counting, that Jesus predicts what's going to happen in his future. And one of those times, one of the key times, is in Luke chapter 9 and verse 51. Because here it says in the story that Jesus here resolutely set out for Jerusalem. And the phrase "resolutely set out for Jerusalem" means that he set his face firmly onto what he was going to encounter, the place where he was going to die. And so this is a major shift here in the Gospel of Luke, and sometimes we call this the travel motif. And it's evident here as it permeates the rest of the Gospel of Luke from here on, and it especially oozes out to our hearing and understanding here in Luke 18. And so Jesus is approaching this city, and people have already heard what's going on. I remind you, there wasn't Instagram or Twitter or Facebook or Periscope or any of those things that we take advantage of today back in the days of the Lord, but the word had spread. Jesus was healing people. I mean, Jesus was a rock star, folks. He was rolling into town, and people were running out to the edge of the town with all of their hurt, their pain, their lameness, their deafness, everything that was going on. Jesus, heal me. I'd say if Jesus was coming by today, we'd all run out to Cox Road with all of our problems because we knew and know that Jesus can heal us. The blind were made to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear, the lepers were being made whole. It was miraculous what was going on. And the blind man couldn't see, but he heard the commotion. And he was probably trying to grab someone's arm and their attention. What's going on? I can hear a stirring and a commotion, but what's happening? And they said, Jesus from Nazareth is passing by. And he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the blind man was not able to see what was happening, but he knew Jesus could heal him. He had heard all about him. And you know, isn't it true that when one of our senses is kind of deficient, the other four kind of are a little more keen? We pay attention in the other areas. I mean, we're often told that those who are blind really have a way of listening more intently to what's going on about them. They're a little bit more sharp at listening to what is taking place. And I'm thinking about Fanny Crosby, who was that famous hymn writer in our Christian faith. She wrote more than 8,000 hymns, and yet when she was just 6 weeks old, she developed an eye problem, this inflammation of the eye. She was taken to the doctor, and the doctors misdiagnosed her, and they treated her in a way that led to permanent blindness. But she didn't become bitter over that experience. She became better as she took that as a gift from God, and she went forth to write these incredible hymns that even to this day bless our hearts as we share them together. Things like Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. And Fanny went on to say, and many know that, she said that even if medical advancement at that time in history would have been able to afford her eyesight, she would have refused it, thinking that this was truly a gift of God that enabled her to experience life to the fullest, even more so than if she had her eyesight. Isn't it true today that people are blind today? Many people are blind today. Walking about life, I got this. We don't need any other help. I'll stumble through life with all of my infirmities, with all of my crippling problems, with all of life's loads, all by myself. I'll figure it out. But Jesus comes to provide us real healing. I had a friend one time that went and they told him he needed glasses, and they got his eyeglasses and put them on, and for the first time in his life, he was able to see clearly. He said, I didn't know my eyesight was that bad. If I just knew that, I would have been back here earlier to get corrected. I'm telling you today, Jesus provides us that ultimate healing. And today, we find this to be an incredible story. Now, we know from the story, as Mark tells it in his gospel, this fellow's name is Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus is sitting by the wayside here, begging alms, and he's shouting, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the people leading the procession begin to chide him, and they scold him and say, pipe down, Bartimaeus. Jesus is too busy to fool with a blind beggar today. He's an important person. But what did the man do? He cried all the louder, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy upon me. And he gained the attention of Jesus. And Jesus said, bring this fella into my presence. And they ushered the man into his presence. And Jesus, of course, knew the man was blind. He could see his faltering steps, his shabby dress, and that stir of his eye that was so distant. And he said to him, what do you want me to do for you? And the man said, I want to be made whole. This is a story that repeats over and over again in the Gospels. Everywhere, Jesus invites people, wherever they're at, into his presence. Now, I know today that a lot of people don't want to be in the presence of Jesus. A lot of people. Everybody today, when you turn the TV on, says, oh, I believe in God. But you just mentioned the word Jesus, and that's a game changer. But we know from Acts 4 that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only name given under heaven among men whereby we must be saved. And Jesus invites us into his presence. I remember the story from the hospital about the lady who was going to give birth. And when she was finally assigned the hospital room, she went in. It was one of those Catholic hospitals, and there was a picture of Jesus on the cross. And she told the nurse, you get that picture of that Jew off of that wall. I can't stay in a room where Jesus is. And the nurse said, oh, ma'am, I don't have any power or authority to remove the pictures and change the furniture. You get me somebody that can. And the charge nurse came in. And the lady said to her, you get that picture of Jesus, that Jew, off the wall. I can't stand it. And the charge nurse said, well, I have no authority to do such a thing. And the husband went and got the hospital administrator. He came up, and both together they said, you get the picture of Jesus, that Jewish guy, off the wall right now. I don't want that to be the first thing that my baby sees when they're born. They took the picture down. The baby was finally born. And when they laid the baby in the arms of the mother, they told him the news, the baby was born blind. I kid you not. If you don't desire to be in the presence of Christ now, I tell you there'll come a day when you will want to be in the presence of the Lord. Jesus invited the blind man here to come into his presence, and Luke tells us that when Jesus heard the cries of the blind man, he stopped and commanded them to bring him to him. And this repeats over and over again. Just a little bit later, we've got the story when Jesus finally gets into Jericho of the wee little man known as Zacchaeus. And he's up in a tree so he can see what's going on. And when Jesus comes by, he tells him, get down out of that tree, for I'm coming to your house today. I'm coming into your presence. Time and time again, we find Jesus coming in to the presence of people. And when he does, he rocks their world. He changes their life. I want to say to you, the door of his presence is open for you today. Maybe you're here. Maybe you think you're seeing okay. But maybe you don't realize really what you're missing. When I was in high school, we had a club that was called the Modern Woodsman Club. And it was a group of folks that liked to be on the outdoors and do a lot of hiking. And the story was, back in the day, that they were out one time and ran across the Boy Scouts. And it looked to them something was awry with the Boy Scouts. And they said, hey, Scouts, are you all lost? And they said, well, we don't know where we're at, but we're not lost. Well, we're with the Scout Master, Jesus Christ, today, and we know that he knows the way. And looking back, I have learned that the wilderness is part of the landscape of faith, and every important part as essential as the mountaintop. I mean, on the mountaintop, we are overwhelmed, are we not, by the presence of God? We are full of such joy. But when we're in the valley, we are overwhelmed by the absence of God. God, where are you? And both places should bring us to our knees. When we're on the mountaintop or in the valley, one in utter awe and the other in complete and utter dependence. I made it a lifetime studying the human condition. Sometimes I've kind of jokingly said I feel like a spiritual cardiologist. Studying abnormal psychology and theories of personality and all the psychoanalytic people and things like that, and trying to really gauge and understand why people do the crazy things they do. People looking for a solution for life's problems, and we've got it in Jesus Christ. And here is a statement that was made one time by that Swiss psychiatrist that I am not a follower after necessarily in his psychoanalysis, but Carl Jung said this, and I think it's applicable to us today. And he said, whosoever looks outside dreams, but whoever looks on the inside awakens. And I want you to know today that you need to pause in this journey and take a pit stop in life and make sure you're really seeing clearly, and the person of Jesus is in your heart and life. Embrace this one who comes. Embrace him and receive him into your presence. Shall we pray?